The AUKUS protest in Fremantle. The Premier apologises for swearing and Bali to ban tourists riding scooters. It's Wednesday, the 15th of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you. What a week it's been already.
Oh, no.
It's been great, though. And we have been talking about this AUKUS deal all week. We've been waiting to hear some details. Now we have some, and some people aren't happy about it.
Some people are not happy. Residents will this morning be launching a nuke-free Cockburn Sound campaign protesting this AUKUS deal between Australia, the US and UK. Now, WA has emerged as a major winner from the deal, with HMAS Stirling in line for an $8 billion, that's billion,
wow,
dollar upgrade to house the nation's future fleet of nuclear-powered submarines. This group doesn't want the nuclear submarines in our backyard. Now, we should say they are nuclear-powered. They don't have nuclear weapons on board. So this group will be launching the campaign this morning. They're made up of residents from the council areas of Cockburn Sound, because that's where in the future these nuclear-powered subs will be going through and past. And they say, and we've seen already China respond, saying that HMAS Stirling will become a target in the future because it will be home to the nation's fleet.
Yeah, so that's their main concern, that where they live now will become a target. Interesting. And now there's been an armed robbery in Rivervale.
Yeah, so this morning police are hunting this male. They've released a photo. They see he and two others tried to steal a scooter and assaulted the owner. How's this? The victim suffered cuts, bruising and concussion.
Oh,
wow. So police are wanting people to check out the photo. They have it on the police Facebook pages, and anybody with information to contact Crime Stoppers, of course, 1-800-333-000, or you can make a report online at crimestoppers.com.au as well. But a terrifying ordeal for that scooter owner.
Oh, yeah, terrifying. Now, I love a moment where we see the professional facade slip a little bit, especially with politicians, and this moment from Premier Mark McGowan is a doozy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My question is on the
teacup.
We're always taught in TV there's the mic is live.
Yeah. Never swear with a mic on.
No, the Premier learnt perhaps, you know, a bit of colourful language around the storm in the teacup. wasn't the way to go, but it kind of does humanise politicians, doesn't it? So what he's referring to here is he's had a go about this gold dilution controversy at the Perth Mint as a storm in a bleeping teacup.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has then said that in Parliament and then had to apologise to Parliament. And the apology was something to the effect of, I'm sorry if anybody was offended by my swearing, which we know is not really an apology when you say, I'm sorry if anyone was offended.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. It was, if someone gave you that apology, you think they're not really apologising.
Yeah.
But look, the Premier has apologised. The opposition has been wanting a royal commission on this. They're not going to get it. They're getting stonewalled by the government. Simply, they don't have the numbers in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Premier is saying it's a storm in a teacup because, as we know, the gold met international standards, just not the agreed standards.
Mm.
And, you know, we're talking about minimal amount.
Yeah.
And I think in his eyes, he's saying, well, this is being made to be much bigger than it actually is, and it's been rectified. But even still, there are investigations underway.
Mm.
People want to know, you know, this is the Gold Corporation, which is taxpayer funded.
Yeah.
And people want to know, well, who knew what when? Why was this happening?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been going on for? We've seen the chairman of the Gold Corporation bounced by Jeff Parry from Seven News at Red Rooster the other day. We've seen photographs of him, Sam Walsh, asleep in his car. So, you know, there are a lot of questions over this. The reality is we probably won't get to the bottom of it. And this is part of what happens when you have a situation in Parliament where one party dominates.
Yeah.
I mean, this is democracy. They got voted in massive numbers, and this is the effect. You know, if you want a situation where, you know, there's a bit more accountability, you need, you know, members from
more
different parties. Yeah, exactly.
Liberals. Yeah. That is interesting. I suppose we'll find out what happens, or maybe we won't.
Yeah.
And now we've heard a lot about the housing crisis gripping the state at the moment, and it seems the government department responsible for reducing homelessness as well as child protection has been criticised for evicting more than 1,000 families and children, and has also been accused of covering up the figures by using kind of like different language to describe the evictions. This is on thewest.com.au right now. It's by Annabelle Hennessy. She does great investigations. And so this is the Government Housing Authority. They've been accused of evicting at least 1,034 families with children since 2017 to 2018. And some of the evictions have been labelled as voluntarily vacates in its data instead of being evicted. So I guess what we were talking about is, you know, is this a cover up? Is this a, you know, just trying to make the figures look better?
Mm-hmm.
Annabelle's looked into this. A department spokesperson said in December, only 12 children in 9 public housing tenancies were evicted in 2021-22 financial year. But when asked by the West about the voluntarily vacates language, the communities confirmed an additional 92 families and with 209 children left public housing tenancies after being issued termination notices. So
what's happened to these kids? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't say in the article, but hopefully they've had alternative housing, because, you know, these are people who are the most vulnerable as well.
Yeah.
They're in government housing for a reason, because they can't find private housing, and the private housing market is ridiculous at
yeah.
the moment.
And so the reality is, a lot of the reason these people can't get a home that's not, you know, a public house is because they've got a lot of other things going on in their life, which makes it difficult for them to perhaps lead a life that a lot of other people do and are able to pay their bills and go to work and all that sort of thing. So it's not surprising that some of these people who need social housing have other issues going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it is harder to address those other issues rather than just going, eviction notice, see you later.
Yeah. And I think, you know, these people are being put on a really high pedestal. When you've got other issues going on, sometimes cleanliness is not your priority when you're trying to put food on the table.
Yeah.
And the Department of Communities has said right up until the point there is an eviction and the locks are changed, tenants still have the opportunity to change their behaviour. So that seems a little bit victim blamey to me.
Yeah.
But it's something that is being looked into, and the Department of Communities has addressed it, but I guess there'll be more looked into it now as well. And now it feels like COVID was a world away. It is still around. I've had a couple of friends come down with it over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. But in the wake of COVID, researchers are keen to understand some of the impacts of vaccine mandates.
Yeah. So researchers from UWA are going to look into the use of these COVID vaccine mandates, whether they work, also the impact of removing them. So this was obviously controversial for some people anyway when these mandates were brought in, and you know, it stopped people from travelling to certain areas, it stopped people from working in certain jobs, it obviously created division within the community. So UWA research is going to look at all of this. It's believed to be a study, the first of its kind, and a large-scale study. It will launch in October, and the findings from this research will then be used by government to inform future policy decisions around vaccine mandates.
Interesting. Mm. And speaking of a post-COVID world, China has finally announced its reopening to tourists, 3 years after? They had one of like the hardest lines against COVID, its zero COVID strategy, and it did hurt the economy. China said its GDP grew just 3% in 2022, the worst in half a century. So from today, foreign officers can process applications for Chinese visas. So people will be allowed back to holiday and work and all that kind of stuff in China.
Paves the way, with the premier heading to We're planning to head to China next month to try to reinstall direct flights. I'm not sure how that's going to go in the wake of the AUKUS deal and HMO Stirling's $8 billion upgrade, but we'll see.
Interesting. And I wonder if it's going to have any impact, you know, when WA reopened the borders and we just had an influx of COVID, whether this whole zero COVID strategy is just going to be completely undone when China reopens its borders.
The Wild West.
Speaking of holidays, Bali is usually a pretty good destination to look forward to when you're, you know, just need a weekend away, something to look forward to keep you going at work.
Isn't it? I think the thing is it's such a juxtaposition from work because there's like pool, cocktails, massage, everything you don't find at work, you find in Bali.
Yeah, exactly. And just like being the laziest version of yourself.
The best version, Kate, the best version.
But some people love getting on a scooter. And
Have you ridden a scooter in Bali?
No, I'm not one of the scooter people. I'm too scared.
Nah, same for me. I've only ever done like four-wheeler in the Greek islands, but they seem a little safer, or at least for me anyway, my riding capability.
Yeah, I'm the same. And just the road, I can't get my head around the road rules.
In Bali, I don't think there are any, are there?
I don't think so. Just ride. But
there's nothing to get your head around.
It's probably not going to matter anymore because... No.
As my family in Italy said when I'm driving there, just look ahead. Don't worry about what's behind you.
Yeah,
that's pretty much... It seems to work.
Yeah, it works for everyone else. I'm quite happy not to do it. But the people who do like riding scooters are going to be banned. And this because Bali police reported 170 traffic violations by tourists in the last week alone.
Last week. Yeah, they're sick of it, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose it does give Bali a bad name when you see people seriously injured on scooters and even deaths.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand why they're doing it. It's going to be a bit difficult to police, though, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like pulling over someone and being like, are you a tourist?
Are you a tourist? Because there's people, obviously, from Australia who live in Bali, not a tourist. So what happens? Can they ride their scooters still? Or?
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about the traffic, but tourists will be forced to hire a car. And imagine that many more cars on the road instead of scooters.
Yeah.
It's just going to be ridiculous. So I don't know. It's been described as a knee-jerk reaction. And this it comes after the whole, you know, Bali planning to use billboards
to show what you should wear and shouldn't wear and how you should act and shouldn't act.
Yeah. So
it feels like they're kind of doing this to appease perhaps the local population or... you know, appease Jakarta or something. Like, it doesn't feel like it's, you know, a way to kind of promote your tourism industry.
No, but I guess when the tourist season picks up again, they might, they might reduce that a little bit. But that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, the 15th of March. Don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Thanks, Maddie. Chat to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Kate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.